Everybody, welcome to our third and our final week in our I Want a New Marriage series. So glad to have you along for the ride. And if you're here for the very first time, just want to welcome you again. We're glad that you are here and with us today. So we're just honored that you're hanging out with us on this Sunday. I want to get right into the message here this morning because I got a lot of ground to cover in a short time. And so I would like for you, if you would, please just go ahead and grab your message notes this morning. They're in your worship guide if you want to follow along that way or on the screens behind me. As you're doing this, just let me just see by the showing of hands this morning, how many can just say over the last few weeks, man, that this series is impacting your marriage, your life in some kind of way? Just kind of wave at me, all right? Awesome, man, praise God for that, because the response that we've been getting from this series has been overwhelming. And just to hear how God is challenging many people, so that excites us, and we're thankful for that. I also just want to throw out one last disclaimer here today, that today's message is going to be a little spicy, all right, a little spicy. And as we've been in this marriage series, and so I've been kind of prepping you for this day. So if you do have kids in here that are 12 and under, this may be a great opportunity to plug them into our kids ministry. I believe it's completely appropriate for those 13 and older, and here's the reason why. I believe that is because they're hearing a lot worse in their schools today. And so I think the church is the greatest place to learn what God has to say on every subject. Amen, everybody? And so that's up to you, parents, and your discretion. Malachi chapter 2, I want to start right off here in verse 16, been our theme verse, says this: I hate divorce, says the God of Israel. I hate the violent dismembering of the one flesh of marriage. So watch yourselves and don't let your guard down. Don't cheat. I love just kind of two things I want to pull from this verse that I think is so good. We've really been emphasizing over the last few weeks is how God views divorce as it is a violent dismembering of the one flesh. You know, when a man and woman leaves their parents, they become one in marriage. Everybody say one. And so they become one together. And I think sometimes we forget that we are one in this journey together. But I think it's interesting, and I think it's awesome how God just beautifully puts this together. And so I believe this, that the best marriage is the one that we are in. And I would just say this as well, that it's easier, I believe, to work on the marriage that you're in right now as opposed to just quitting and starting all over again. Amen. And so that's just our hope through this series, is that you're learning some things and really just not just listening, but having a lot of life application through this series. So that's been our prayer as well. And I just want to reiterate something I've also said just through this series, that this message and this series is not meant to condemn anybody that has been a victim of divorce, because here's what I know, that sometimes, men, we things happen that are out of your control, and so we're not judging anything that you have done or saying you're wrong at all. So we just want you to know our heart, and our heart is to simply just come alongside of you, love you, and care for you, and just give you some biblical principles and values that will help you to have a successful next marriage if you desire to have that in your life. So I want to make sure you understand our heart. But if you notice this morning at the top of your message notes, it's just titled, I Still Do. And because when you make that commitment on that wedding day, if you think back, you made a vow to each other. And that vow was, I do. And our vow stated that for better or for worse, that we are going to make the commitment to stick with each other no matter what. And saying those vows is a powerful one. And I think sometimes it's easy to forget some of the things that we committed to. And so this message today, my hope is to kind of stir each other up. But I want to use an example today, specifically an analogy that I think will just help you. And I don't know if you have ever read the book Five Love Languages. If you haven't, it's cool, but it's a great book. And I would encourage you, if you've not ever read that book, read it. It'll really help you. Something Bethany and I read early on in our marriage that really just helped our communication. And I'll just say this too, the love tank is something they talk about in this. So for the first part of my message, I'm going to be really going to the love tank, talking about how do we fill the love tank, because I'll tell you what, life is, it is dreadful living it on E. How many have ever driven a car when it's been on E before? I mean, how frustrating is it? Like, not only is it on E, but when you're living on E. And here's my thing that I want to encourage you with. We don't want our marriages living on E. We don't want our marriages living on empty. And so what we have to do is learn how to fill our love tanks up and make sure we're fulfilling the needs of the ones that we love. And so the love tank, this really is a principle that governs our relationships and I think is vital and something that I believe, and if you've missed any part of this series, make sure you listen to it on the podcast, because last week was a message, I think really maybe the most important message in this series as it relates to communication, because really you can't have an effective relationship marriage without good communication. And so it's just so important. But I would say this too, that the word complacency, as I was just studying this week, that word just kept coming up in my spirit for us just to be reminded, because complacency, I truly believe, is the root of a dysfunctional marriage. Because here's what complacency does. It basically paints the picture that, well, everything is okay, and when everything's not really okay, and we don't put any kind of effort to make any kind of changes to grow and to go beyond where we're at. So my challenge for us is it's easy to see the love tank depleted if we become complacent. And so I'm going to push on you a little bit just with that today and encourage you, because marriage takes work and you got to stay committed to it. And that's our hope in this message. So jot this first one down, because there's some things that can deplete the tank. First of all, everything that you do and say affects your marriage. Everything you do and say affects your marriage. Galatians 6:7 tells us, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And so really here's what this verse is saying, that whatever you do or don't do affects your marriage. And so I'm going to give you a word here in a few minutes that's going to be really valuable to you and very important as we continue to move on in this. Here's the next thing. Understand this. Jot this down this morning with me. Filling your spouse's love tank sustains romance. Sustains romance. I've never really liked the term falling in love, or I'm falling in love, or whatever, because you don't just kind of trip into something. Like, it's like you don't trip into a ditch somewhere and just, oh, I fell in love. You know what I mean? Like, it takes work. You know, it takes time to fill the tank. And so the love tank fills to the level that we do or don't fill it. And so that is really dependent on us. And so as I'm working through this message today, I just want you to know something too, that really this message was done like a month ago, because there's some strategic things that I really felt like the Holy Spirit wanted me to speak today. And also just as it relates to our singles and those that are desiring to be married, I really feel like God is wanting to say something to you. But I also think I want to debunk something, because I think it's important that we understand, even though the honeymoon is after you get married, you can enjoy the honeymoon throughout your marriage. And I just believe that. I don't believe in the notion that, well, once the honeymoon's over, well, you know, life just smacks us in the face and then it's just, here we go. Boy, that sounds like fun. You know what I mean? But how about we get a little more better perspective and just grow and understand that those butterfly feelings can stay alive. And we can enjoy the honeymoon experience, not just for a week, but for the rest of our married life. Song of Solomon, chapter 4. Now, you want to talk spicy. This is a spicy book. I taught a series a few years ago on the entire book of the Song of Solomon, and man, it's spicy. But here's a man and a woman that are in love with each other and are coming to really in a place of relationship and marriage. But it's interesting just identifying how things start out. But here he is, and what he's doing here in the scripture is giving a description of the woman that he's into. I mean, he, you know, just watch with me. Well, here we go. It says this, beginning in verse 1, how beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful. Your eyes behind your veil are doves. Your hair is like a flock of goats descending from Mount Gilead. Now, guys, I would encourage you not to tell your woman that her wife that her hair looks like goat hair. All right, you just got, it's a culture thing, so just understand. All right. Goes on to say, your teeth are like a flock of sheep just shorn, coming up from the washing. Each has its twin. Not one of them is alone. He said, baby, you got all your teeth and you look good. Come on. He said, your lips, they're like a scarlet ribbon. Your mouth is lovely. Your temples behind your veil are like the halves of a pomegranate. I ain't got a clue what that means, so don't ask me. I'm still trying to figure that last part out, all right? But here's what he's saying. He said, girl, you are sexy. Mm-hmm. You are fine. That's exactly what he's saying. He has given the description of the girl that he's into. In Proverbs chapter 5, and here beginning in 18, it says this, let your wife be a fountain of blessing for you. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. She is a loving deer, a graceful doe. Let her breast satisfy you always. Be captivated by her love. And I love the last part of that verse because that's my prayer, is that we would be captivated by the one that we are in love with, the one that is our helpmate through this journey, our spouse, our best friend in the journey. And I believe, you know, that feeling of being captivated by love never has to end. I believe that, listen, that your heart can still skip a beat, you know, when you see each other. And so I believe that, you know, I remember when I first really met Bethany and laid eyes on her. And I remember one of the things that she was doing at that time, that she enjoyed playing tennis. You know, I'm not a tennis guy, but you know what? I learned to love tennis real quick. Especially when I saw her in these kind of blue, you know, kind of sweats, Lord have mercy. And so I learned to love, I wasn't a lover of tennis, but all of a sudden I was the best tennis player that ever wanted to play. Come on, somebody. And so, you know, I began to play tennis. I was terrible, but man, she loved it. And amen. And so we did some things together. And then when, you know, we got married, you know, the other thing that I think about is times we've been in the gym and doing lawn work. Girl still catches mine. Baby, you're fine. I'm just telling you, you know, and it still happens today. I'll notice I'm watching her instead of the TV in the gym. That's a good thing. Amen. All right. And so, all right, I'm getting distracted. Got to move on. Jot this next one down. Whoo! Draining your spouse's love tank destroys the marriage. Draining the tank, it'll destroy the marriage. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. You know, as I've just been praying over our marriages and just praying over you guys specifically, you know, here's what I know over the last few weeks, that God has been tugging on our hearts on different things. And I think some of us can relate because we kind of feel this way. We feel exactly what the scripture says. Our heart is sick. We feel like we're losing hope. And you know, when we're thinking back about times that maybe we dated, and man, the fun we used to have. And then all of a sudden, as we've gotten married, we, you know, what happened to the long talks we used to have? And what happened to the back rubs? What happened to us holding hands? All of a sudden, we've become real selfish, and we're hurting each other, and we're in a place where we find that, man, we used to do everything together, and now we find that we do most of everything separate. And so we're in a place that I believe culture tries to paint us this lie and wants us to believe it, that, well, you just married the wrong person, and so you might as well just quit and go on. But I believe the reason why we fall into these areas of our life is really what I would just say toxic behavioral patterns, that we just are not filling the needs of our loved one and our spouse, and it's crucial. And so what I want to do is spend a few minutes here this morning and give you some emotional rocks. I'm going to talk to the guys today, and I'm going to talk to the ladies today. And so I've got some specific things that both you need to hear, all right, and need to understand. And these are some things just based upon studies that show these are of the utmost importance as it relates to men and women in marriage. And so we're going to fill up the tank. Everybody say, let's fill up the tank. Let's fill it up. So, guys, you need to understand this first, and everybody jot this down. Ladies need personal affection. Yes, they do. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. Husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies, and he who loves his wife loves himself. So here's what God is saying. He said, I want you to love her. I think this is such a powerful mandate that God gives us as husbands. I want you to love her like I love my church. I want you to love her unconditionally. That means loving her without conditions and just being there for her and giving everything to her is just such a high call that God really calls us to as men and leaders in the home. And I love this picture because no matter what happens in your life and in my life, God isn't going anywhere. Man, when you step into a relationship with Jesus, he made a promise to you and I that he would never leave us nor forsake us. And so God is saying, hey, I want you to commit to each other in the same way. I want you to have no exit door strategy in your marriage. I don't want you to have exits. I don't want you to have any back doors. There ought to be no secrets. We're going to commit and we're going to work things out, because here's what happens. The ladies come into a place where they don't feel valued. Man, what happened to opening up the door for them? What happened to maybe just pumping the gas for them? And so what they're searching for and needing is that reverent love. They want to be honored. They want to be valued. And so it's important that we know that. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 You know, this chapter has been painted, ever since I can remember, as the love chapter, and for good reason. But I think sometimes we need to take our time to really read this, because this is exactly who Jesus is to us. And I think sometimes we can read scriptures like this sometimes and flippantly just read it. But my prayer is that we really get a hold of this for our life and really become who Jesus wants us to become. And that's ultimately be more like him. So it says this, beginning in verse 4, love is patient. Love is kind. Love isn't jealous. It doesn't sing its own praises. It isn't arrogant. It isn't rude. It doesn't think about itself. It isn't irritable. Amen. It doesn't keep track of wrongs. Big amen. All right. It isn't happy when injustice is done, but it is happy with the truth. Look at this. Love never stops being patient, never stops believing, never stops hoping, never gives up. Love never comes to end. And that's what I believe what ladies need most is that security. And so my heart, just so you understand, isn't to be offensive when I say this, but I believe couples that are living together without the bond of marriage, that a lot of times you'll find very insecure ladies because they don't have that covering. They don't have that protection. What they don't have is that guarantee of their man, because why? Marriage is the ultimate commitment to each other that says, I love you. I'm going to commit my life to you and being with you forever, and I ain't going nowhere. And so that's that, and we need to understand that. So here's two words I want you just to write down, or maybe just one, however you want to do it, just write in that area of your notes. But it's simply this: be intentional. Like in marriage, you have to understand being intentional is so important, because if not, complacency can easily slip in. So you've got to be intentional. Guys, tell her you love her, and don't plan it. I mean, just say I love you in moments that she would never expect it. Bring flowers to her when it's not Valentine's Day. I mean, just do, it's little things about being intentional. You know, one of the things that Bethany and I have is we have a good texting relationship. That's something that her and I enjoy. I mean, I may have long days, long nights. And so, you know, we'll send each other texts. Baby, I'm thinking about you. I love you. You know, and just even checking in on her. Just, I mean, you're such a great wife, such an awesome mom. Just thank you. Little things like that. And then we have spicy texts. Why? Because we're married. Married folk can do that. And so I look forward to going home. Amen. Glory to God. So that's part of our relationship. All right. I'm just trying to help. But hey, here's something else real important is in every relationship, keep Jesus at the center. If there's anything that I can encourage you, if you don't remember anything else I say today, if you will keep Jesus at the center of your marriage, I'm telling you, some of these other issues going on will be solved. Why? Because when your attention is focused on Jesus, it's less about you. And so I want to encourage you today. When's the last time you've prayed together? Maybe when's the last time you've just put the kids to bed a little bit early so you can have some you time and just sit on the couch and dream a little. Talk a little, talk about what's going on, whatever it takes, but being intentional is going to help take you to that place. And hey, here's something else incredibly important that a lot of couples don't do, and that's date. Like, don't ever stop dating each other. Don't ever stop laughing with each other. Plan dates. You should be dating, having date nights like once a week at least, and planning time out. Don't ever quit having fun. You know, whether it's dinner, whether it's a movie, whether it's, you know, putt-putt, whatever it is that you both enjoy, but date each other and don't stop doing that. Guys, here's the other thing ladies need is intimate conversation. They need a place that they can communicate their heart and for you. They want to hear from you. And sharing the dreams and the desires within marriage, within life, with the journey. Guys, if there's anything I've been pushing on you and challenging you a lot in this series, it's open up and be and communicate more. I'm telling you, she needs it more than you think she does. She needs to hear that you believe in her. She needs to hear, man, just direction for your family. Man, a woman values that in her husband as a leader in the home. It's important, so important. Jesus said this, he gives us a good picture of this, John 15:15. He said, I no longer call you servants because a master doesn't confide in his servants, but you are my friends since I've told you everything the Father told me. I love this verse so much because Jesus is giving the invitation. He said, I want you to come close and you're going to be close to me. I'm going to share with you some things that, you know, I'm not going to tell everybody else, that it's just for our relationship. And that's what God wants for our marriage, is that we would have intimate conversations. And let me just say this. Don't, you know, fellas, we can never have these kind of conversations with the opposite sex. It opens up the door to affairs. And we have to be very, very careful. Whether you purposed for it or not, it can happen. And so we've got to be mindful of that. But I'll say this, if we understand this principle, it'll change your relationship as you begin to value that. And she'll test you to see if you mean business by that too, by the way. I mean, it'll be like the fourth quarter. Crucial game, 2 minutes left, and she'll come and say, baby, I've got something I need to talk to you about. And I said, you know, well, baby, there's like 2 minutes left in the game. Can we just wait just a minute? You know, and no, we need to talk. Okay, so you're going to be tested. I'm just telling you that. You know, the one thing, guys, there's DVR, so you can press pause now, so that's a good thing to know. All right, ladies, here's what's important, and hear my heart as I'm going to talk about this for the next couple of minutes, but guys need sexual fulfillment. Jot that down. Listen, sex between a husband and wife, listen to me, is powerful. It's powerful. And listen, it's fun. It's fun. It's powerful and it's fun. And we need to value that. It's something we need to value and understand. This is of God. And I'm real irritated with the world and how it's tried to paint sex. Because it was instituted and created by God. And so we need to have the understanding that sex is beautiful and it's awesome. And we're going to talk more about that even a little bit later here. But guys, here's something you have got to understand and listen to me. Sex and affection are two different things, fellas. Because men, here's our issue. We become more affectionate when we have sex. That's just the truth. And so, you know, when you try to go in, you know, for what you think is a good spontaneous hug and your hand starts going to places on your wife, guess what, man, y'all just lost credit for that hug. Like, especially when it leads to sex, I'm just telling you, you just lost all the credit for it. All right, so you can be affectionate and sexual. And I'm going to prove the point. Why? Because, you know, we have family members, kids, nephews, nieces, whatever, and we show affection to them because we love them. And so we need to understand they're two different. And I understand that, you know, this is sometimes a wife's response, and Beth and I have counseled other couples in the journey, and we have both have heard this from other couples. Well, you know, I just come home and I'm just tired. I just got a headache. You got a headache every night? Girl, we need to get you checked out then if that's the case. I mean, let us help you. You know what I mean? But, you know, that sometimes that we go so long without sex, it's not healthy. You should be having sex a few times a week. Yes, I did say a few. All right, just trying to help a brother, sister out. All right, just trying to help you. All right. And I'm just telling you, here's something that's so important. Ladies, a guy's need for sexual fulfillment is not a physical one. It's not. Listen to me. Sex is one of the highest emotional needs of a man. And this is important that we talked about this. So listen, wives, if you give him all the sex he wants, he's going to sing like a bird. I'm just telling you, you had some things needed fixed. All of a sudden, they're going to get fixed. You may have been looking for that new car, new house. Ooh. Look what happened. You all of a sudden, you're going to get that house you want. I'm just telling you, just, you know, my heart is, though, is that we understand that it's an emotional need for men. And here's the other thing that it does. It fills that love tank. And as you fill each other's love tank, it will affair-proof your marriage. And what it does is it keeps the door shut to the enemy from him opening up doors because you are being intentional about filling each other's love tank. Amen? And so I think the problem in America is this. I think we've got a lot of great men and women who even love the Lord but have gone years without their emotional needs being met and their tanks are being depleted. You know, Bethany and I, just in our journey, have also helped to counsel men and women and families who've been through affairs. It's one of the toughest things as pastors that we walk with people through, but we've done it. And I believe this, that people don't just set out to have affairs. I don't think people just really go out to purpose it in their heart. What happens, and this is what we've seen just in our experience, that as our love tanks have been depleted, somebody from the opposite sex comes along and starts making deposits in that love tank. And then all of a sudden we realize that our love tank is being filled, but it's not being filled by the spouse and the one that we love, but by somebody else. And so we have got to pay attention. We have got to be intentional. We have got to protect each other in that and be mindful of this. This is important, okay? And so a woman, I believe this, will have an affair not for sex, but because she's desiring to be loved. And so guys, if you don't love her and value her, she is going to go try to find that somewhere else. And it's not, listen to me, because she's a bad woman, but because her primary needs are not being met. Ladies, listen to me. If you don't give your husband's sex, he's going to find it somewhere. And I know that sounds harsh, but if we will be aware and fill each other's love tanks, we will never want to step outside of our marriage because it's good where I'm at. You know, and so we need to have that understanding and make sure we're focusing on pouring into the love tank of the one that we love. You know, something, it may be corny for some people, but for Bethany and I, you know, we ask each other from time to time, how's your love tank? How you doing? How am I doing? What can I improve on? How can I get better? You know, and that's honest conversations that honestly her and I have in the home that nobody else will know about. And so, and then we work on that and grow in our marriage with each other. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 5 says not to deprive each other of sexual relations unless you both agree to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time. Hey, don't use sex as a weapon, by the way. That is so not God and so unhealthy. And I'm just telling you, we have seen, you know, as Beth and I have counseled many in this journey, we have seen too many married couples use that as a device. And it's just not the Lord. Okay, so just want to say that, all right? Unless you both agree to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time so you can give yourselves more completely to prayer. Afterward, you should come together again so that Satan won't be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I want to say this. Talk about sex, married couples. Listen to me. Talk about it. Communicate. Communicate what you like and don't like. Communicate expectations. If there's a struggle there, talk about it. The safest place for that talk is between you two, and have conversations about it. And it's okay. Listen, I believe a couple who prays together and plays together stays together. Tweet that one. Listen, 56% of divorce cases involved, a stat I read this week, involved one partner having an obsessive interest in pornography. It may not be an affair, it could be pornography. And we have to protect each other and be intentional about these things and love each other and make sure these tanks are full. And if you realize you're in a place that you need help, then get the help. If you need good counselors in your life and good help in your life, and if it's beyond us, we'll be honest and say, hey, you need a good counselor in your life that's doing this professionally. We do it a lot. You know, we know what we can and can't do, and we're honest about that with people. And so if you need that, and if you need somebody just to guide you, we're here. And we want to see marriages strong, everybody. We just want to see them healthy and see your families just go as far as God wants to take you. Amen? And so I want to encourage us with that. And then let me say this too, that everything that we need, God has created in marriage. And not to underestimate that. So the answers lie right there with you guys. And so I'm going to issue a challenge to all the married couples in the house. And this is something that Beth and I participated in. And I think it's how we ended up getting Ashton, all right? And so here's my challenge. Listen to me when I say this and hear your pastor's heart. Is I'm issuing for all the married couples, and I told first service today too, 7 days of sex. Yeah, I don't know. Some of the brothers like, love you, Pastor, you know. But listen to me. Listen to my heart when I say this. It is going to, listen, help to solve some of the communication issues going on. I'm telling you, it was one of the most powerful things that Bethany and I did in our journey. And we don't mind participating again, all right? And so, but I'm telling you, it will cause you to communicate, and it'll solve some things that have been just kind of lingering around because, you know what, you're going to have conversations. Listen, I triple dog dare you. Like, you don't back down from a triple dog. I'm just telling you, like, drop the mic. There it is. I'm just telling you, like, receive it in Jesus' name, but know our heart behind it is to help build your marriage. See, you grow in intimacy. It's powerful. It's fun. I want you guys to understand that. And so, and it'll be a lot less counseling sessions for us if you do it. All right. And so moving on. Here's the thing ladies, guys need is recreational companionship. This is another emotional need for us that we do have. You know, when I'm watching a game or going to a game, you know, football or basketball, whatever, baseball, man, there's nothing like my best friend in the world being next to me. Nothing like Bethany being there with me. I just enjoy her company. And that's the way it should be. You know, maybe your thing isn't sports. That's cool. Maybe it's camping. Maybe it's outdoors or whatever. I'm just telling you, ladies, it's something that fills our tank is when you're with us. It really does. And so I want to encourage you just to be mindful of that. And guys, here's a tip. Like if you're watching a game, here's the thing that'll really help hook her in there with you. Just give her a story about one of the players. You're like, babe, hey, listen, man, this guy, you know, just lost his mom yesterday, but he's still playing today. And man, he's still playing. The team's rallying around. And she'll be like, who? This guy right here? I said, yeah, man, it's a tragedy. And so, you know, yeah, it's tough. And she'll say, oh, baby, I'll be rooting with you all game long for him. I want to see his team win, you know. Then you get the kids involved. And, you know, my kids, day, which team, blue or red? You know, it's always blue, kids. It's Colts, always blue, you know what I mean? So just always blue. John 15 says this. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, than a wife sitting next to her husband and watching a game. Amen. It's in there somewhere. Somewhere. All right. I want to make just a little bit of a shift here in this message, and because I want to dedicate the last part to just those that have a desire to get married. And if you don't, that's okay, because this is going to pertain to you as well. But I think this is going to be very beneficial for all of us. Number one, you've got to follow your spirit and not your feelings. Galatians 5 tells us, I say, walk by the spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Choices lead, feelings follow is a powerful principle to use, but your feelings, listen, can get you in a heap of trouble. And you've got to be wise. You've got to be careful. You know, what a lot of people may not know about me is I nearly married a different woman. I almost got engaged to someone not named Bethany. And I'm so thankful that, you know, I'm very, very thankful that I didn't. Because let me tell you something. Marrying the wrong person could cost you. And I'll never forget, I was alone in my apartment, and the Spirit of the Lord was just talking to me. And he was talking to me about that relationship. He said, you need to get out of it, and you need to get out of it now. And I'm like, what's up? And the Lord just told me, if you don't, this is what could happen. And man, I just heeded God. I heeded even some right voices in my life that I'm going to talk about in a minute. But I'm so glad I did, because I got the best thing in the world in my wife, and I'm thankful. And so she just makes me better in every kind of way. So, yeah, amen. Amen. Love you, babe. Love you so much. But I believe if you want to find that special someone, you have to become the person that God wants you to be and just get lost in his cause. Get lost in finding God's purpose for your life. You know, there's a woman by the name of Ruth, and I've got the scripture references in your notes today, but I'm just going to kind of summarize this story. But Ruth was just a great woman of God who went through tragedy, and she lost her husband. Her mother-in-law, Naomi, she lost her husband. And then Ruth's sister-in-law or brother-in-law, her brother-in-law died, and so left also her sister-in-law, Orpah. And so all of a sudden, there's three widows there, and Naomi just goes to her two daughter-in-laws and said, hey, I release you. You know, both of my sons have passed, and so release you to go back to your hometown. And Orpah went, but Ruth stayed, and she said, no, I'm going to hang here with you. I'm just going to serve God. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to work, and just, I'm going to wait. I'm just going to wait. I'm not going to be led by my feelings. I'm going to be led by purpose and by my spirit. And so she did, and she did that. And as she was gleaning, the Bible said she was working in the fields. And as if you read the story, I encourage you to go read the story. You can read that book in no time. All of a sudden, there's a guy by the name of Boaz that notices her as she's working, which that's one of the things that attracted me to Bethany. I just love the fact that she just ain't afraid to roll up her sleeves and work. It's just attractive to me. And so that, you know, along with tennis, but you know, so here she was working, and Boaz was in the field and came, and you know, one thing led to another, man, but he just noticed her. It was a very honoring relationship, ends up getting married, and they had a child together. But the key was, is that she waited for her Boaz, and she didn't just settle for anyone. I'm encouraging you, ladies, don't just settle for anyone. Settle for God's best for your life. Tell him, if you'll wait and you'll be patient, settle for his best. You know, the Bible says that Boaz was a handsome man. He was a rich man. Listen, he was a spiritual man. He was a sensitive man, which equaled a husband. And I think those are some great qualities to look for. and a man. Amen, everybody? And so here's what I realized. I got married to Bethany when we were just pups, man, at 22. But up until then, you know, I was single in my apartment. I had friends, you know, doing their thing. But I just made a decision. I wasn't just going to date anything or anybody. And the fact is, because I know me, and I know what kind of trouble I could have got into. All right? But I knew God had called me, and so I wanted to just embrace the call. And so that's why I'm saying, ladies, don't get upset or mad if you're at home on a Friday night or a Saturday night. Listen, and instead of out in the club or in the bar somewhere, man, that you're at home and you got church the next day, it's cool. I'm telling you, waiting on your Boaz is going to be the better situation for you, and waiting for who God wants for your lives. Because if you're not careful, you'll settle for some of the relatives that Boaz has. And Boaz has some relatives that you don't want to date. Some guys that you don't want to spend your time with. And I stole this from one of the pastors that we love so much, Pastor Jensen Franklin, who has spoken into my life. But truth be told, he got it from the internet. But he's got some relatives. And if you're not careful, you'll date one of them. Put it up here. All right? So don't settle for any of his relatives. His relatives is, and by the way, Boaz is spelled B-O-A-Z. Everybody say B-O-A-Z.
B-O-A-Z.
All right? Don't settle for broke as, po as, lying as, cheating as, dumb as, drunk as, come on, cheap as, come on, turn your person and say, I dated him before, locked up as, good for nothing as, lazy as, and especially his third cousin, beating your ass, wait on your Boaz and make sure he respects your ass. Listen, you want a word? There's the word. Stop settling for anything that has two legs and allow God to take you through a season of a desert or a wilderness or loneliness to see who he has for your life. Come on. It's worth the wait. I promise you. It's worth the wait. Amen. I better keep moving, man. Woo. Secondly is this. Listen to right voices. This is crucial. Proverbs 11 says, where there's no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. I don't want to be the smartest one I know. I need people in my life that are going to love me and point me and be able to check me if something's up and be able to also receive that same counsel, even if it doesn't feel good. Listen to right voices. Choose to surround yourself with people that love Jesus more than you. Embrace that counsel, even, like I said, when it does not feel good. Number three is stay honest and stay accountable. I think this is so important. You know, I know as a young man in my single years, this was a valuable principle for my life, is staying honest. Getting some men, some leaders in my life, pastors that love me, would keep me accountable. Because here's the thing, we all, married alike, we all have blind spots. We all have things in our life, and we need godly counsel. We need small groups. I'm saying, man, small groups is a way of life here at Elevate City. If you're not a part, man, it is moving and it is thriving. And I encourage you, get a part of a small group if you're not. Because here's what I know, you're only as sick as your secrets. And we all need the help. We all need somebody to be able to talk to. It's part of God's plan. Galatians chapter 6, verse 4 in the Amplified, it says, but each one must carefully scrutinize his own work, examining his actions, attitudes, and behavior, and then he can have the personal satisfaction and inner joy of doing something commendable without comparing himself to another. I love this next verse in James 5:16. Confess your sins. This is part of the plan of God. Confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Counsel's given, you got to receive it. And the number four, this is so important. I felt like this point is just, some of us just need to hear what this next point is. What I'm getting ready to say, and it's going to, I believe, move in your life and impact you. God's timing is always better than my timing. God's timing is always better than my timing. For some of us, we feel like, man, we've been waiting a while. Lord, when's that person coming into my life? So this relates to your spouse, even relates to sex. Song of Songs 3:5 says, promise me, O women of Jerusalem, by the gazelles and wild deer, not to awaken love until the time is right. Sex is awesome in its time. In its time, it's beautiful. And I'm challenging us as a church that we continue to raise the standard. God is a holy God who is calling us to a place of holiness. And so we have to understand that sex is meant for the marriage bed, everybody. God never has changed his mind on that. And honoring your spouse. I mean, if there's anything we can teach our kids and our students, it's waiting for the one that God has for them before they ever think about having sex. Now, let me say this too. And Bethany has given me permission to share this anytime I feel led to. We were at a place when we were engaged in our relationship. We were just dreaming, having some conversation one evening. Well, all of a sudden, she just burst into tears and started crying. I said, "Babe, what's up? What's going on?" She said, "I need to tell you something that you don't know." I said, "What's up? Tell me." She said, "I know that you kept yourself for me, but I didn't. I've had sex before you, and man, in my spirit, I knew. I didn't wait long to respond to her. I said, look back at her in her eye, and I said, you know what, baby, listen to me. I said, God makes all things new again. I said, he's not interested in your past, meaning God, and I'm not interested in your past. Because when we walk down this aisle on that day, you are my virgin, baby. And I'm telling you, I'll be your first man, and you're going to see. And I'm telling you, man, it's just healing. Because she was. And I was hers. And so here's what I want to say to you. Say, Kyle, man, you lost me at that one. Wait a minute. He makes all things new again. I don't care what you've done last night. I don't care what your past is looking. Doesn't matter what happened this week. What God is focused on right here is this moment. And he said, I'm calling you now to come closer to me. I'm calling you to my word. And let's go a little higher now. And let me take you there in Jesus' name. Ecclesiastes 3:1. Says, for everything there is a season, a time for every matter under heaven. Don't know who made this statement, but it's a powerful one. That a woman's heart should be so lost in God that a man needs to seek him in order to find her. I think it's beautiful. And I want to dedicate just this last scripture as I close up to every person in this room. I dedicate this scripture to you today. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 out of the Message. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God. Run from evil. Trust in God's timing. Don't stop believing for your Boaz. Hey, guys, don't stop believing for your Ruth. I think it's the one thing that God had me do that was so good, and I'm glad he did, when I was just single and growing up, even as a teenager, I was praying for my future spouse. Didn't know if I'd have kids or how many, but I prayed for them too. Don't stop praying. Don't stop believing, because God will do some crazy things. He brought me from Indiana to Columbus, Ohio. One of the purposes was to marry my best friend in the world, and then moved us back. God will do anything. So just believe him. Let's pray. Bow your heads where you're at. Father, we thank you so much this morning for just your word that brings life. And in that, God, your word not only brings life, it brings comfort. And God, even at times, it helps to adjust us in the journey. But God, most importantly today, I'm praying that we continue to look to you for everything that we need. And so, Father, I speak your blessing over every marriage as we close up this series together. And I'm speaking that, God, what you have done and begun in these marriages, that it will continue now, move forward. Pray that husbands will arise to be the leaders that they need to be in their home, and that the women of God and the wives will arise to, Lord, stand next to their husband, and as a married couple, that they will be strong in the Lord, and that they will apply that which they're not only hearing, but what you're showing them in Jesus' name. I pray for every man and woman who is desiring to be married one day, that God, that you will honor the desires of their heart, but Lord, help them to understand this season of waiting is of the utmost importance. God, that they don't just settle for anything or anybody, but God, that they would settle for your best. And I speak that over them in Jesus' name. Now, as every head bowed and eyes just remain closed, if you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, that's the first and ultimate step that you need to make today in placing and making Jesus the Lord of your life. And all over this room, we're not going to ask you to stand up, come down to the front. We're not going to embarrass anybody. But if you recognize today and say, you know what, Kyle, man, I have got to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I need to put him first in my life. And if that's you today, on the count of three, I'm just going to ask you to slip your hand up and you can put it back down. But all over this place, I want you to be real honest before God today. One, two, three, all over this place. Thank you, sir. Come on, real honest. Thank you, man. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Several hands. That's awesome. We're going to pray right now. Here's what I want us to do. I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. Just believe it and just repeat this after me today. People are stepping into a relationship with Jesus. Say, Jesus, you are amazing. Come on, church, stay with me. Say, Jesus, you are amazing. I give you my life. I give you all that I am today. Take it, Lord. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of my past. My future is bright, God, because you're in it. So, Lord, I submit all that I am. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for what God's done. Come on, everybody. Bless you, God.